Hello again, and welcome to another episode of our Theme Parks and Recs podcast. It's Chad and Christy Thomas from B98.7 in Tampa Bay, and this time it is all about Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Orlando Resort. Amazing again this year. It's hard to pinpoint a favorite. I know a lot of people are going to go over this year for the Stranger Things house. I tend to like more of the 80s classic horror movies, so I would definitely say you do not want to miss Poltergeist and Halloween 4, but a lot of original houses as well. And we are talking this morning on this podcast with Charles Gray. He's the show director for Entertainment Creative, one of the creative minds behind Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Orlando. We're still going to find out how they pick the houses and how long it takes, and do they have a favorite? Are there little hidden Easter eggs in some of the houses that we need to look for? So, Charles, welcome to the show. Appreciate you being with us today.
Yes.
So now, Charles, I will preface this by saying we are husband and wife, and one who loves the horror genre a little bit more than the other.
That's like my marriage.
Well, okay. In fairness, I'm a zombie fanatic.
Oh, okay.
I'm not good at slasher stuff.
Which, that's where we differ, because the one I think I was looking forward to the most, and I know that everybody is going to have their own favorite, and I was just talking to Jason, and the one I think I was looking forward to the most was Halloween 4.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see how closely you guys stayed to the movie, because it's got to be tougher when you are basing one of your houses on a movie as opposed to saying, hey, we have free reign, we can do whatever we want to with it. And I have to say, you guys rocked it. How closely you stayed to the movie was incredible.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. What did you think of the t-shirt on the girl on the wall?
Yes. I mean, everything. And Brady on the stairs. And I mean, it was like every character was there. And in the diner scene, having the Abraham Lincoln pictures on the wall. I mean, my son said, you know, it was somebody's job to find that exact picture of Abraham Lincoln like the one in the movie.
This is exciting. I'm excited that you notice those kind of things. I think sometimes those things go unnoticed, and that's okay, because, you know, but for the Uber fans, like, sounds like you are, that you notice those kind of things. That's awesome.
Well, and our son, it was so excited about Halloween Horror Nights this year that leading up to the big event, he watched all of the slasher movies that he knew were going to be part of it. And then literally the hour or 2 hours before we walked over to the park, that's when they popped Halloween 4 and watched it. So it was like fresh in their mind.
Oh, nice.
So that is really a big compliment that it was so spot on.
And same goes with Poltergeist. And not to give too much away, because we're giving away tickets on our show, and I know a lot of people are going to go over and experience it after us, and the fun is not giving too much away. But the one thing I will say about Poltergeist, even the fact that you recreated the kitchen from the house, like the exact tile on the countertop, everything. I mean, the attention to detail for a lot of us does not go unnoticed. So props to you all.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's awesome to hear. Yeah, funny thing is we joke as creators that we are, we geek out as much as the fan, you know, people coming in. We're all fans. And I think that works to our advantage too. But, you know, when I walked in, as Scenic was going into that house, I walked into that kitchen and was like, oh, this is it.
All you needed was the little kid sliding across the floor. And then, you know, it would have been complete. But
so let's go to the beginning when you're starting to put the wheels in motion for every year's Halloween Horror Nights. Obviously, the first thing you have to do is come up with a theme. But then where do you go from there?
Actually, we're currently creating next year. The show directors, Patrick, myself, Blake, along with the designers, there's about a group of six or seven of us. We are currently creating next year as this event is going on, which is great in real time. We can actually go into the house and see, you know, what's working, what would need work, how would we tweak something, along with the scares. And it's actually really paid dividends the last few years, being able to hone in on just the art of the scare. And as we're conceptualizing and deciding, you know, what goes where, Mike Aiello really works as a showrunner, because we come to him, you know, with like 10 what we feel solid ideas, and he'll say, let's go with these five, you know, for the originals. as we obtain IPs. So,
and just the fact that, and this is another little subtlety, that you wanted to kind of theme things around the 80s, because Stranger Things is obviously the big house and it's set in the 80s, but then to have, you know, the party zone, which is like a prom from 1985 filled with, you know, zombie prints and a lot of others, which was hilarious. But even maybe I'm thinking more into this, the house where the meteor hits the earth and the plants kind of take over. I'm like, this is kind of a nod to the Stephen King scene in Tales from the Crypt. Was I onto something or not?
I will neither deny or confirm that. we're all huge fans of that particular film you're talking about.
Okay.
But I will say that there's actually a lot of nods in that house. There's tons of Easter eggs in that house from our homegrown IPs also as you go through, especially if you take the lights on tour, because that house is dark on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's very claustrophobic. It's very dark. But if you go through multiple times, there's a lot of fun Easter eggs that are hidden in there. Everybody's always keeps asking me to tell everybody what those Easter eggs are, and I give a few out, but I always like to keep some in the for the Uber fans. Just like, find them yourself. These are really cool.
That's interesting that you say a lights on tour. Does Universal offer that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Wow, okay.
They have a daytime tour. You can, it's very reasonable, actually, and you can go through the houses, see with the lights on, and just really see everything from a different angle. I always, some people who maybe are too afraid or think the event's too scary, I'm like, well, come anyway and do a lights on tour, because you can experience all the amazing scenic, you know, without any characters in there.
Oh, that's...
I would have loved to have done that last year for The Shining House, which was hands down my favorite, even to the point where you got us so excited after Halloween Horror Nights last year that we booked a trip to Colorado to go to the actual house that Stephen King, or the hotel that Stephen King stayed in for the inspiration of The Shining. That's how excited you got us with that house last year.
I'm actually from Colorado. That's awesome.
So, yeah, that was great. At what point, and I know last year when we talked to Patrick, and, you know, he kind of teased at the end that our big house is going to be based on a huge movie. And so then we started debating, you know, I said, I bet it's going to be It. And our son is the one that said, no, I bet it's going to go back to the 80s and do something they've never done before. I don't think he put his finger on Poltergeist, but I mean, obviously that's what it is. And I think, you know, that's what makes it so great, is that you do have something for the people who love the new stuff, you know, the American Horror Story and all of those Stranger Things, the new, but you do take care of those people that love the classic and kind of strike that balance. Do you tend to, when you're trying to get access to the intellectual properties, do you tend to think new first or classic first, or is it just kind of like every year is different?
I think we do strategize to make sure that there's something for everybody. And with 10 houses, that's the luxury we have, you know, that we can bring something to everyone. I was talking earlier, I was saying how much fun it is to see the younger kids come in here,
mm-hmm.
you know, the new generation of horror fans, and really introduce them to some of those classics. And the great thing with horror, too, it doesn't matter what era it came in, you know, there's something to be appreciated about it. You know, the, mm-hmm. the Poltergeist, people, you know, maybe go through that house and go, oh, wow, I really want to go see that film, or especially Trick or Treat. You know, I didn't realize how old that movie was.
It's right.
Actually, they consider it an older film. Like, oh, no, it just came out a couple years ago. But in fact, it is. It's been around for a while, and mm-hmm. it's a classic, and not a lot of people, young or old, necessarily, unless you're a huge horror fan, know a lot about it. So I think people are going through the house, enjoying the heck out of it, and then actually going home and watching that film. Yeah, I watch it every Halloween. It's great.
Now, obviously, this year, with the theme being 80s, obviously you wouldn't have any sort of like a Walking Dead house like I know you have had in the past. And the show isn't what it used to be as far as demand goes. But I do know out at Universal Studios Hollywood, they actually have a dedicated Walking Dead house year-round. So, you know, we were talking about intellectual property the other day. We were having this conversation in our family of how much both properties share. Like, are some of the things that you're doing here things that you're also doing out at Universal Studios Hollywood, or are they just two entirely separate things when it comes to intellectual property rights?
We do share a lot of the, in fact, in all our properties, sometimes we'll share things. Stranger Things is a great example of that, you know. But you can actually go to all four events and experience the, you know, the same IP, but in a completely different way. You know, what we do, what Hollywood, what, you know, Singapore, what everybody's doing is giving their, you know, you'll see similarities, you know, things that pop up in different episodes that are really popular, you know. But you'll see them in different angles, different ways, and so you're really experiencing four completely different mazes, even though we're sharing IPs. And I always look forward to seeing what our brothers and sisters are doing on the other coast.
You take a notepad in and go,
Oh, and one other quick thing before I forget. You were talking about the next generation of horror movie fans. Now, for parents who have kids that are a little bit younger, what is the minimum age that you recommend for Halloween Horror Nights?
We call this a PG-13 event. So I always say, though, you know your kid better
right,
than I do.
Right.
You know, I know that there's, you know, somebody may have a super brave, you know, 9-year-old, whereas they also might have an 18-year-old that can't handle it, too. So you know your kid better than I do. So that's, I kind of put it, the onus on the parents.
And how many people, I mean, because we're talking about attention to detail. How big is the team that does this? And you say you're already working on next year, so how long does it take to complete, like, any one given house?
Boy, from concept for the very first house that we swing hammers on, so from concept to opening, it's about 14 months for the entirety. But we, it's like dominoes, you know, as we create the very first house in the build order, it may, you know, once construction's done, they move on to the next house. So they're doing construction while scenic is going on in that first house. And it really, you know, you can have seven different houses going at the same time at one time.
Wow.
And in regards to how many people it takes, you know, like I said, it starts with maybe 4 to 6 of us designers and show directors sitting in a room, lovingly debating, as we like to say, what we're going to do. And by the end of it, just about everybody in the park is involved in some way, shape, or form, whether it be extending hours from day hours to working night hours, you know, just merchandise to ticketing to just about everybody in the park is affected somehow. And it's amazing how quickly we turn the park over. You've been to the event. You see that it really does look quite different, you know, within less than an hour. It really is like a dance.
And this, I'm sure you've been asked this question before, too, and I'm going to ask it on behalf of our son because he's like a lot of other kids. We're so spoiled with having such elaborate worlds. I mean, you walk into to the Harry Potter worlds and you are teleported. I mean, it's every detail. And the same goes for Halloween Horror Nights. For those kids that say, I would love to be a part of this someday in being on the creative team and coming up with the design and the implementation. I know there's not necessarily a theme park design degree that you can get, but where do most that end up sort of in your line of work come from?
That's an amazing question because it's like not one answer. We all come from these different backgrounds. I would say on the show director side, most of us have had some performing experience or directing shows or whatnot. On the designer side, a lot of them have gone to school for design, whether it be the type of design that, you know, how to put on a Broadway show or build staging and those types of things. But we all do come from different backgrounds. And if you go down the list of what our maybe our majors are, you know, for example, I just went into performing directly out of high school. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I got a degree in organizational communications just because I thought that would help me out. And it has immensely. But we all have different backgrounds. And there is no one roadmap to get to the destination.
I think it's funny because anybody who is a performer would say that those of us that are creative generally are not very organized. So that's interesting.
That's why I went to school for that.
Exactly. Well, that is fantastic. Well, great to talk to you again, and we're coming back over to do a broadcast tomorrow and are looking forward to coming back again before it's all said and done. And I'm going to look for some of the Easter eggs. You said you generally give out a couple, so what is your biggie? Like, if you're going to find one, go find this one.
Okay, so if you go into, well, it's a double one here. You go into Scene 3, Seeds of Extinction. It's the Lightning Gulp. And you'll see on the door going into Lightning Gulp, which is based on Lightning Gulch, our West House, old West House from 2 years ago. You can go in there and check that out. There's also these comic books that are in the store, and their covers are all based on past houses that we've done in the past.
Nice.
So it's so much fun to look at. But there's a fun Easter egg for you.
Very cool.
Easter egg.
Well, Charles, thank you so much. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure talking to you, too. It's always fun to talk to fans.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.